Coming up on Patriots This Week, corralling the Broncos.
He left, he's throwing for Sanders, back shoulder, pitch off, and down the right side, Logan Ryan to the 40, to midfield.
Really proud of these guys.
Dominating Denver in their mile-high house of horrors.
He looks right, he throws to Demaryius Thomas, open with leaping pass, and the 15, no, the ball jerked free, Devin McCourty.
Work hard during the week so we can play fast on Sunday.
For the eighth consecutive year, the Patriots clinched the AFC East. Anyone for a free hat and t-shirt?
Hey, the hat's cool and everything, but this was a great team win. And, we've got more work to do.
Next up, the J-E-T-S Jets. Their season is OVA, but they are looking to play spoilers.
Last year, blah, 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 the season didn't end the way we wanted to.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
For the fourth time in less than 3 years, the Patriots go to Denver and they bid adieu to a three-game losing streak a mile high and gain a first-round bye once again in the process. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Patriots This Week. And a very happy holiday season to you and yours. Bob Soucy joined, as always, by my radio partner from 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, former Patriots quarterback, alongside three-time Super Bowl champion for the Pats, Matt Chatham. And Tom Brady, the Patriots quarterback, led the Pats on the one scoring drive, but it was defense that really led the Patriots to that victory over the Denver Broncos on Sunday.
Yeah, I thought so, Bob. I thought the defense really came together. This has been a work in progress. We've been talking about it for weeks, rungs on that ladder. You go back to last week against the Ravens, they really took a huge step forward. But I tell you, against this type of perimeter people that Denver had, and I don't care if Trevor Siemian's in there, if Peyton Manning's in there with a decent arm, or if it's Paxton Lynch, they did a good job in man-to-man situations. I thought Butler D'd him up nicely. You know, it's nice to see Manny Sanders after the game say, yeah, Butler couldn't cover him with his two-year-old kid in the cover two. They played five snaps of cover two
exactly.
The entire game.
Exactly.
Five snaps out of 66 snaps. So I thought Butler was phenomenal in this game. I thought the front seven was great. They had the ability to get pressure with four, with three. And with Chris Long's getting in there, with Ninkovich getting in there, I thought Alan Branch had a great game. Even Jabal Sheard. You look at Jabal Sheard. 3 weeks ago, they sit him down. He comes back. Kind of a slow return. That was his game right there.
At a turning point, Matt, Logan Ryan with an interception. Denver's driving deep in New England territory, looking for the lead in a 3-3 tie. Ryan picks it. It goes the other way. That leads to the one touchdown.
Yeah, and I think he's a great example, sort of a microcosm of a lot of that's gone on with this team. It's whether or not you want to believe the outlier or whether or not you want to believe what's been sort of the thrust of what the guy's done in his career. He's had down moments. A lot of guys in this team have had down moments. But if you look at the vast majority of what he's done, it's been positive. And Logan's a great example of that. If you only watch one or two snaps that he loses on and don't go watch the 60-play deck, you won't find out that he's been doing quite well. And I think like a lot of guys in this team, they've had their lulls, but now they're peaking. The thing they're illustrating best is their versatility. They're seeing different kinds of opponents, different kind of challenges, and they're able to do some different things week to week. So I think from just a personnel standpoint, they built the roster enough to be able to do some different stuff.
How much of that communication defensively is the byproduct now where these guys have simply gotten comfortable with one another and it's part of a building process over the course of the last month or so as new guys have gotten more playing time?
It can't be stated enough, Bob. It's a great point, and this is just how it works. I think every year we're going to do this show, and there's going to be points in October, November, where there's going to be complaining, and you have to understand that's how football works. It's about sort of cohesiveness and getting together, especially when you play zone defense. I think the cohesiveness matters a little less if just everyone's taking a man and somebody's sitting in the middle, then it's just how good can you cover a guy. But if you're zone heavy, and the Patriots often are, it's those interchanges between when routes convert from one dude to the next where the cohesiveness matters.
And so you made the point on the broadcast several times, the Patriots were able to get pressure on Siemian, mm-hmm. producing sacks without sending extra rushers. They're getting there with 4-3.
I don't know what I'm watching. I really don't. Because, I mean, we've been doing this broadcast for 5-6 years. They rarely get pressure with rushing three. They rarely get pressure rushing four. If they take three in, I mean, you're dropping eight. I mean, do the math right there. You got a five underneath zone. You got three deep. And they did a good job of eliminating a big play. And I'm telling you, if they could take Long, if they could limit Alan Branch, and then you start to get guys like Brown in there, you sprinkle him in. Jabal Sheard, for everything that we talked about him 3 weeks ago, I thought that was his best game as a Patriot in the second half of the season.
Meanwhile, offensively, a little consternation for the Patriots early on. Tom Brady starts 0-6. What did Denver do defensively? How do the Patriots counter-adjust?
I thought Wade Phillips really doesn't get enough credit for the type of defense coordinator he is. We say defense coordinators in this league, really good ones. Everybody goes to Rex Ryan. Or say you'll go to Harbaugh or something. I'm telling you, Wade is one of the best in the world at what he does. He mixes up the fronts. He mixes up the coverage. Brady got into that game, and it felt to me like that was first quarter AFC championship game where maybe he's seeing some ghosts, maybe he's not setting the feet. It took him about seven snaps, seven real true throwing snaps to where he could set the feet, get in there, and I thought the pass to Edelman where he extended, lobbed it in the hole was one of his best passes all year.
Some of what it was Denver, and some of it was, I think you go back and look at the pictures and realize, you know what, that's not that exotic. I can handle that. Let's make the adjustment. Let's do this. Because there was a couple times where Tom was letting it go early as if he was anticipating something that never came, and that's just what players do.
We had a sense that Denver was vulnerable against the run. Patriots got the one rushing touchdown from LeGarrette Blount, but for the most part, the damage done on the ground was in subsets with Deion Lewis.
Yeah, I thought they learned a lot from what Atlanta did and how they exposed them early in the year. You take the quicker backs, and you look at their front seven. Now, no Malik Jackson, no Brandon Marshall in the middle. That takes some of the athletic guys out of there. It takes the big guy out of there. Now you got guys that could run all around. I don't care who they sprinkle in. You still have Vaughn Miller. You still have DeMarcus Ware. You still have T.J. Ward coming down. Those are fast, athletic guys. Take your smaller, quicker back, and it's the jump cut. It's get up to the line of scrimmage. The old Danny Woodhead play. Hand it to him, get up to the line of scrimmage, jump it, and get up in there for 4 yards.
There was at points nine guys within 8 yards. I mean, they were just packing the box. Blount isn't great, and neither would any big back be in that environment because
not his game.
There's no gaps, right? There's no space. So you needed the back that could create his own space. It's the jump cuts that Zoe talks about. A guy that can widen just a little bit to make his own seam.
The week before, we spent a lot of time talking about the problems the Patriots had on special teams in the return game with two lost fumbles. Last week, they clearly had the advantage coming out of it in special teams with the way Ryan Allen punted, Steven Gostkowski kicked, and the way they covered, including a fumble recovery early that led to a field goal.
I would simply say this. It's a strength of this team when they get rolling. And the roller coaster has been a little too up and down for their taste, but when they're at their best, this is a group that can really affect the outcomes.
I'm not worried about Steven Gostkowski, but what I am worried about the kick return game. So you can put anybody you want back there. I want Julian Edelman back there. I want to do this. I want to fair catch it. I don't want to return. Secure the catch. Get Tom Brady and the offense out there, and let's roll.
Julian Edelman took a hard shot. Chippy play once more, not surprisingly, from T.J. Ward with a takedown drawing a personal foul, slamming Edelman to the turf well after the play was done. Broncos with dissension within their ranks. Patriots, meanwhile, feeling the gratification of going a mile high and coming away with the win. How important is that for this team to go to Denver and beat the Broncos the way they did?
It's huge. It's the place. It's the environment. It's the new challenges of what that particular team does. It's not their record. And so I think, yes, getting over that hurdle, part of it's mental as much as anything. The thing I loved about sort of that sequence you talked about there, Bob, is Edelman not reacting. And I've been in that situation where you get something that would, you know, you want to turn and just knock him out, right? But the way that he turned and just held it, because you could see him sort of, you know, he wanted to knock him out himself, but he held it, and that basically ended the football game.
I don't like T.J. Ward. I don't like T.J. Ward. I don't like him because he took Rob Gronkowski out, ended his year. I think the guy's a punk. I think he's a cheap shot artist. He's flexing, full well knowing, and you and I were up in the booth, that ball sailed. That ball had no chance of being complete, and he's trying to tell Tom Brady that he thought the ball was complete. That ball was 4 feet from being complete.
All right, Patriots, knock off the Broncos and enjoy a shorter trip home. Meanwhile, a long ride home for Gus Bradley, former head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll talk about that and more after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on James Devlin. The 6'3", 255-pound fullback has become invaluable to the Patriots' offense. Against the Broncos, the chemical engineering major caught his second pass of the season. But it's the dominating blocking of the 28-year-old that has sparked the Patriots' running game. Not bad for a guy who played on the defensive line at Brown University. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots This Week continues and the head coaching career of Gus Bradley is over in Jacksonville, guys. Sunday, he was fired as the Jaguars relinquished the lead, fell on the road, and he accompanied the team on the flight home after he had been fired. Many of the players on that flight weren't aware that he'd been fired until they read about it on social media.
Yeah,
strange circumstances.
It's just not classy, in my view. I think these situations where a coach, even the ones that aren't popular with fan bases, with media, any of that, they give 80, 90 hours a week, right, of their life. They get well compensated for it, but there's a lot of commitment that goes into coaching, even the ones that suck, right? So, and I'm not saying Gus Bradley sucked, but he'd had plenty of opportunities. It hadn't gone well, but I think you still need to treat people well on the way out the door. He committed to that team. He was well-loved by a lot of his guys, but he didn't get it done. So there's a way to do that 24 hours later and not just embarrass the people that worked hard for you.
I think if you're going to fire the guy, you give him his adieu. You let him do what he needs to do. You can't get on that plane with that team. And I remember the Super Bowl back in 97, 96. Bill Parcells was talking to Will McDonough, and there was a chance that he was going to go to the Jets. Bill Parcells was not on our plane after we lost that Super Bowl, and it was not 100% clear that he was going to go to the Jets, but yet still declined to get on the plane with the team. So right then and there, you knew there was a division. So the fact that they put the guy back on the plane, this is why Jacksonville is Jacksonville.
There are certainly rumors swirling about him, Rex Ryan in Buffalo. It seems like the end is near.
Who are you going to get? Really, who are you going to replace that guy with? And that's the question. I think Rex is good for the league. He's not Bill Parcells. He wants to be Bill Parcells. He's a little brash. Some of the things that he does do not work. And he needs to learn how to balance that. I just don't know who's going to give him that next chance. I think Rex could be a great defensive coordinator in this league. So any new head coach that takes over a team should go there first to talk to that guy to say, hey, you want to be my defensive coordinator?
The one thing that's been difficult to sort of figure out what it is, even after the Jets tenure and now in Buffalo, what is his offensive style? He's gone through several coordinators. He's gone through several changes. I don't know what a Rex Ryan offense is, which means there isn't one, right? I don't think it's necessarily the right answer to get rid of Rex. I just think it needs to be reconfigured.
Giants head coach, offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo calling plays with a walkie-talkie, clearly against the NFL rules. Sure. Gives him communication with the quarterback right up until the snap. The Giants were penalized, but in your opinion, did the penalty fit the crime?
Of course not. Listen, this is how it is. This is our NFL now. We do not live in an NFL of integrity. We're not live in an even playing field kind of situation. Ray Farmer was given 4 games. It was removed for 4 games. The fine was much more for texting in-game, which could not affect the game nearly as much as the walkie-talkies could. McAdoo should not be there for the playoff run. He should not. He should at least get the 4. He didn't. Because he's the head of a New York organization.
I want to go to Dallas, though. So Ezekiel Elliott runs a touchdown. So he jumps inside the Salvation Army big bucket, right?
Bucket.
You cannot use anything for a prop. That is a fine. That is a penalty. The NFL waives it. So they have a double standard. They make up rules as they go.
They do.
Typical Roger Goodell. This goes back to Spygate. This goes back to Deflategate. It fits the team that he looks upon, really. If he thinks Dallas is good and Jerry's and has good well-being with him, he's fine.
Patriots meeting the New York Jets this weekend at Gillette. Back to talk about their Christmas Eve matinee right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. Guess what, folks? Jets Week. Okay, what are we going to do? Look at Brandon Marshall? Nope. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick? No. How about Bilal Powell? Take a look at him right here. Pretty good running back. I've liked this guy for the last couple years. Single back set. Offset over here. Little hitch. Watch this right here. Watch this run. Watch how the defense quits. Quit, quit, quit. I'm telling you. If you think that's the way you tackle the National Football League, you got another thing coming. All right, moving on here. Trips right. Freeze it. Okay, this is where he's really good, looking out the back door. All the block, the front side, everything sealed off. Good job by the receivers downfield, stock blocking. Okay, go ahead and roll the tape. Here comes Powell, out the back door, gets to the edge, and has the ability to get to the end zone. One more here. Bryce Petty in the gun, offset, Bilal Powell to his left. Easy throw right here for the rookie. Watch, little motion across, man indicator. They get it walled off, little trickery-dickery-do. Slips it right in. I don't think the New England Patriots, the way this defense has been playing, 3 weeks getting ready for it. Baltimore, last week against Denver, there's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Well, they first met in late November. Now, as the Patriots get set to take on the New York Jets for a second time this season, we welcome you back into the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And, guys, since that last meeting, a very competitive game in which the Jets took a 10-0 lead, later a 4-point lead in the fourth quarter. They've made a quarterback change. Fitzpatrick played well in that game, but Bryce Petty is now the QB of the Jets.
Yeah, I think if they're going to beat us, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick should be the quarterback. I'd go with a veteran against a veteran team. I think Bryce Petty, they need to find out what he's going to do. They still have Christian Hackenberg sitting there, so they got some problems. You still have Brandon Marshall. The line isn't what it used to be. They have a really good front seven. The DBs are okay. Other than that, I think we should roll this thing.
We talk about this with the Bills oftentimes, the Jets occasionally, where, hey, the Patriots are their Super Bowl, right? That already happened, and you watch what happened after in the aftermath of that disappointment. They did not show up for the first half of the Colts game, and by then it was just over, right? They did the same thing against the Niners, but amazingly actually played a little bit tough down the stretch and were able to pull that thing off. And then a week ago against the Dolphins with Matt Moore out there, They look terrible.
Bottom line, you have the Miami Dolphins at terrible. Home. You have a chance to do something. You did nothing.
Yeah, so this is a team that feels like it's given up. And I hate to say that about football teams, because there's a lot of good guys still in that locker room. I think their biggest issue is they don't have 45 of them that will step out there each week. They got 25. You know, and it's the holes that I think other teams are pecking away at. You've got Sheldon Richardson in pregame doing a Snapchat video. Brandon Marshall says it's unacceptable. Bowles says it's unacceptable. What are they going to do about it? He's still going to play.
And for Todd Bowles, he's gone from 10 wins a year ago to of the town to 10 losses this year. His job very much seemingly on the line. Petty took a shot in the Dolphin game. Yeah. The center snapped the ball before he should have, and Petty got crushed between two Dolphin defenders, Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a little bit of Bryce Petty, and I think you're going to see Christian Hackenberg. They need to make a decision moving forward. They know that Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't the quarterback of the future. It's either going to be Hackenberg or it's going to be Petty. I think it's going to be Hackenberg. I like the kid from Penn State.
So much in this league swings around the decisions you make at the quarterback position. And, yeah, that roster is a mess in other places as well. But if you whiff there, it's really tough for Todd Bowles to get much out of this experience.
Yeah, let's get to that other part of the roster on defense, because there was a time when the Jets maybe didn't hit on the quarterback, Mark Sanchez, but they had a defense that was good enough to get them to the AFC Championship game. This is a defense that has some good young players like Leonard Williams, but a lot of aging one-time stars.
They had a lot of first-round money in that front seven, and that's been the one big thing. And they've always had two good safeties. One of the safeties is gone. You got Darrell Revis on the outside. We know what the case is with Darrell Revis. They got guys that really can't get the job done on the field and off the field.
The most important point here, though, is the Jets have to go into an offseason now where they're probably retaining their head coach with 1,000 question marks, and you can use December to try to answer those so you don't spend them trying to figure it out in May and June. If you already know that that's not plausible, then you need to fix things with your general manager how he's going to address the roster. If you think you have in-house answers that you could have answered in a 2-3-4 game down the stretch, why not do it?
So it's the second to last game of the season for the Jets. Patriots are moving on, and when we come back, Matt and Scott will tell you whether the Pats will solidify their grip on the number one seed in the AFC for the upcoming postseason right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Get Oakland's Latavius Murray in your lineup. The fourth-year back has been averaging nearly 90 yards a game while Derek Carr is limited with a hand injury. Murray should have a big day in Indy against a weak Colts run defense. But make AP a DNP. Adrian Peterson's return to the Vikings lineup won't mean much in Green Bay against a Packers team in a must-win situation. This week's sleeper is Dontrell Inman. The San Diego wideout is poised for a big day against the winless Browns in Cleveland. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
It's Christmas Eve, Patriots, Jets, Matt Chatham. How will it turn out?
Well, the Dolphins plowed the way for this kind of result against a division opponent. We'll go 34-13 Patriots. It's going to be that kind of a game. And I'm actually going to go with Malcolm Mitchell as my guy to keep an eye on. I think he's going to have a huge game. Get into that second, third, and fourth option, starting to work on some other things as you prepare yourself for the playoffs.
He had a good one in the Meadowlands, Scott.
He sure did. I had him 34-13. I'm going to go 31-13. LeGarrette Blount is going to be your game changer. This is the game you get him up against a bigger front. front, run them 25, 30 carries, get them going, get them ready for those playoffs. I like the Patriots in this one. I like them to run away with them.
Early kickoff Christmas Eve, of course. Guys, have yourselves a wonderful Christmas weekend.
You as well, Bob.
For Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy, wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a terrific holiday season. Thanks for joining us today. So long, everyone.